Morning, everybody. You guys hear me loud and clear? Echo, echo. You hear me? All right. Everybody alive and well this morning?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to see you. I'm going to start off by talking about the Holy Spirit today. And I do have something to kind of make it a little lighthearted to begin with. John, if you don't mind, I know some of you guys might be familiar with memes. Memes are where people place pictures and they put funny sayings, pretty much. So this one, so I was chilling with my homies at the Last Supper, and I was like, bros, this food you're eating is my body. They were all like, no way. And I was like, Yahweh. I thought that was so suited for today. So funny. Go ahead and see the next one. This is a look when you are not sure about their salvation. We look at the person next to you, and they're about to lay hands on you. I think that's so funny. Next one. When they do an altar call, and you try to act like you don't need to go. That's Tyler Perry. I love that. The face you make when the lady behind you in church takes forever to open her peppermints. You know, the I know I'm like that. I'm like, when are they going to finish? When are they going to finish? Because I'm so easily distracted. That's just naturally how I am. Next one. Walked through the valley of the shadow of death, feared no evil. I love that. Here's the next one. When you're in church and in your favorite praise song begins. I love that. That's totally me when I ever go visit like other churches. Even when I would grow up, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this song. I would just totally do that. Oh, this is my favorite. How to save a seat in church. You see the guy? That's so funny. That's my favorite one. That's hilarious. That's just something lighthearted to get you guys started off today. I want to thank you for joining us this morning. I'm going to kind of intro a little bit about the Holy Spirit and kind of what or who it is. Let's go ahead and go before the Lord in prayer. Oh, one more time. Father God, I thank you for this wonderful morning. Thank you for your blessings, your love, your joy, your forgiveness, your patience, your kindness, Lord. I just pray that your voice is heard and not mine. Your mind is heard and not my mind, Lord God. I pray that you take over. This is your morning, and I just give you glory and all the praise. And may our hearts, all of our hearts, be open to hear what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody said?
Amen.
So I want to start off, if you guys have your Bibles or your phone Bibles, to let's go ahead and turn to John 14:26. He's excited. That's what it is. He's excited to hear the word. John 14:26. Give you a quick second. It says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So my first question this morning would be, with most of us probably have, is who or what is the Holy Spirit? I know some of us, even growing up, I went to so many different churches and I went to a Christian university. I learned a lot. I had to learn a lot of, and understand the differences. So I'm going to kind of shed a little bit of light on that, on who or what in the Holy Spirit is. Let's go ahead and turn to Acts 1. Acts 1. Verse 4 and 5. We're going to do a lot of flipping of our scriptures today. I like to use a lot of scriptures because it's the truth. It's the word, right? Okay, Acts 1. It says, once when he was eating with them, which is Jesus, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he has promised. As I told you before, verse 5, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, number one, is a gift. It is a gift. So we have God the Father, then we have Jesus, and then we have the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit was after Jesus Christ. That's what he was talking about. When he was to leave the earth, he was going to send an advocate. The advocate is the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus, not necessarily in the flesh, but Jesus in the Spirit. So that's who or what the Holy Spirit is. Jesus in the Spirit. Let's go ahead and turn to John 14. You can turn there, or we might have it up there. Right, Johnny? We have it up there. So John 14, 16 through 18. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be with you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. So, he is an advocate. He is someone who will lead us. He will show us the truth. He will guide us. Okay? Moving on. I'm going to go ahead and read Matthew 28. You don't have to. I'm giving you a lot of scripture just to kind of set it up if it feels like we're flipping a lot of pages. Matthew 28, 18, verse 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So notice at the beginning, before Jesus left the earth, he gave that mandate, go into all the earth and baptize them in the Father. Who else? The Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It is important that we do not forget that the Holy Spirit is also involved in the whole equation. We can say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, but we are also recognizing the Holy Spirit who unctions a lot of our day-to-day walk, our day-to-day actions, okay? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit was given to live inside of those who believe in Jesus. He guides us, he teaches us, and he leads us. The Holy Spirit builds into our lives love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now notice, those are all good things. The Holy Spirit will bring good things, good thoughts, good actions that make you want to show love, show selflessness. That's the Holy Spirit, okay? How many of us are very aware of making right or wrong decisions? We teach that from the beginning of time, right? Good versus evil. I know in school, I mean, we have rules, right? There are rules. And there are boundaries. There's something good to do, and then there are bad things, and then there are consequences. Well, to go to the root of that, you know, in someone's mind, how does one make a decision with that? Well, it's our conscience. And I thought about, okay, a lot of people, you know, I looked up the psychology and about our conscience, and people have different ideologies on what a conscience is. So I'm just going to read the actual definition. Now, it says it's a noun. Noun is a person, place, or thing. I know this is not school. But person, place, or thing. So it's something, okay? So, conscience is an inner feeling or voice viewed as acting as a guide to the righteous or wrongness of one's behavior. Okay? Conscience. Now, I would like to believe that that is the Holy Spirit. For those of us who are believers, who believe in Jesus and all that jazz, I would like to believe that my conscience that is telling me good things, steering me the right way, steering me not to say this, but say this, of course, all the good things. He's not going to steer you to do bad things, right? I think if it's bad things, I think that's us that's doing it, right? So that's the Holy Spirit guiding us, showing us what direction to go. Okay? When is the Holy Spirit taking control? It's an important question. Now, I thought, okay, there's two ways of control. It's a self-control. We all know what self-control is. And then I thought of there's a selfish control. Selfish control is just something that, it's not really a definition, is being a control freak. All raise their hands. Or trying to control everything in your life and everyone in your life. Doing what you want, when you want, and not allowing God through the Holy Spirit to help you at all, have any control. So, a selfish control. I know I'm definitely guilty of that. I sometimes have control issues, and I try to work through that. I know I'm not the only one, right? All right, yes, I feel so much better. So, I have personal experience, and I was trying to think, as I was, coming up with my sermon, I was like, okay, selfish control, where do I get that from? Where does that control issue come from? Because sometimes I get to the point where I'm like, no, I can handle it, God. I know what I'm doing. A lot of times I have my conversations in the car, And I thought, where did I get that from? And as far back as I can remember growing up, I didn't have the best childhood. I wasn't really in control of what happened to me, what happened around me, my surroundings. It was just a lot of bad stuff. And I thought to myself, when I grow up, I'm going to take care of myself. And I'm going to be in control of my life. I'm going to make my own decisions and not let other people take the decisions for me, because I don't want to go down that path, because you could easily be forced to go, as a child, to go down a certain path, whether it's poverty, abuse, all these kind of things. And I could have turned out this path, but I chose to take control. But that control I started becoming more controlling, meaning, no, as I was growing up, even in the classroom, I'm like, no, I'm the one in control. What did I tell you to do? And it's like sometimes I have to step back, and even, just in, friendships or relationships or with my mom or my dad, and now they're a little controlling too. They're dominant. But I had to learn, okay, you can't always be in control. It's, because a lot of us have that fear. If we're in control, we know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen in the future. Because if we're not in control, we fear, right? If we're not in control, stuff happens. Bad things can happen. So I think that's where I started getting this, selfish control. And lately, the past 6 months to a year, I've just learned to just, okay, Lord, I'm going to slowly surrender. I'm going to release and not be so controlling over certain things or certain decisions in my life. If it was up to me, I probably would have been married at 19 years old. I probably would have, had 10 kids by now, but that's not the path that the Lord, not that I want 10 kids, guys. That's not the path that the Lord wanted for me. Every situation in my life, I look back, it took a long while, but I had to slowly release that control and give it to God. I know a lot of us can attest to that. And so with that, things have taken a lot later to bloom in my life. I feel like the Lord is just using me as this tool to help everybody else. I'm like, God, why is it taking so long for this? God, why is it taking so long for that? But it's like, I am, had this fear, so I was trying to keep control of everything. But if I just surrender it all, relax, take a chill pill, and let him take control, and it's actually a lot easier ride than struggling, emotionally, mentally. It is important to surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow him to guide you in love, jobs, relationships, family situations, and so much more. So think about right now, what is it that you're holding so tight? Your finances, your job, what is it? You have to learn to just give up that control. Try to let go of that fear, because he's not going to harm you. He's not going to steer you the wrong way. His plans are good for you to prosper, right? And we forget that. And trust me, I forget it all the time, like every second. Here's a good scripture if you guys want to make note of it. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just part of it. All of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Meaning, you don't know everything. I don't know everything. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. So that verse is so profound. It's so profound. And He will make straight your paths. If we just trust in Him, He will guide our path, not us making our own crooked path, you know? And then otherwise, it's going to take us longer to get to the goals that God wants us to be at. James 4:7, if you want to make note of it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when you finally allow the Spirit to lead you, things begin to line up. Trust me, the puzzle pieces no longer are hard to fit. They're not like, this puzzle. You know when you have a puzzle piece, you're like, it doesn't fit. And then you realize in the end, oh, that piece never went there. I'm a puzzle person, so yeah, I know the feeling. You're like, okay, the colors are right, the shape is right, but it just doesn't fit. There's something wrong. But when the Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit to take control of your life, then the puzzle pieces begin to come together and they start making a full puzzle. And they fit. Every single piece fits. And things happen and they flow easier. It's just easier. And you're just like, whoa, how did that happen? Whoa, like, whoa. Yeah, I just... All right, in Job 23:14, so he will do to me whatever he has planned. Excuse me. He controls my destiny. Whew, that's a tough one to give up, right? He controls my destiny. Control, 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 control. Daniel 2:21, he controls the course of the world's events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. Then there is self-control. Now, I know a lot of you guys know that I do teach middle school. Mm-hmm. Middle schoolers have no self-control. Their equilibrium is off. One arm is longer than the other, and they're walking, their backpacks are hitting you. And I mean, me as a teacher, you know, they're stepping on your feet. They have no idea, no idea what they're doing. They're just all over the place. They have no self-control, no conscious of like bubbles, none of that. That's just middle school. So I had this experience. It so happened that it happened this week. I had this experience where one student, he's kind of in a behavioral intervention program, so they give them at least art. So I get a lot of different students from, you know, different types of sections of the school. I don't just get your regular kids. I get your behavioral kids, your mentally challenged students. I get a lot of different students. So this student, you know, he has some behavioral issues. And of course, you know, he acted up and he kicked another student. And so that, you know, we have to follow protocol. And of course, I did the emails and I talked to vice principal and I just told him, you know what? He just needs to learn self-control. He just needs to learn it. And I said, he is old enough. He's a very intelligent kid, but he just has the behavioral thing. And I said, we just need to start instilling in his brain self-control. And he's like, you know what? You're right. And I said, yeah, we need to teach him self-control. And I said, when you bring him back to class, I will have a talk with him, which because he was suspended for a day from my class, not the school, but just from my class. And I thought, I'm going to have a talk with him and talk to him about self-control. So I, you know, he came back, and I just quietly went up to him, sat next to him, and I said, all right, sir. We need to talk about having self-control. Do you know what it is? He was like, I said, okay. Self-control is, for example, when you get angry, you think before you do something. I said, self-control is thinking, you know what? I'm going to breathe and not kick the person next to me because I'm angry. That is self-control. And I just kind of elaborated on more of different events that he had in my class and different ways a human being has self-control. And I said, I'm not just telling you this for my class. I'm telling you this for this is for the rest of your life. This is good meat for the rest of your life. You need to learn to have self-control, because if you don't, you're going to get in greater trouble out there in the real world. He was like, you know, his eyes got bigger and he was like, oh, yes, ma'am. You know, it dawned on him. And I said, you need to have self-control. And so that's my little tidbit of an example. So Proverbs 25:28, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. The Holy Spirit gives us self-control. That's how we use the Holy Spirit. He places in our mind a thought that would help us to maybe be calm, or that would help us to maybe say something nice rather than something rude or mean, even though we don't feel that way inside. Trust me, sometimes I would like to respond snippy, but then the Holy Spirit kicks in. How many of you guys have had that experience where you have that, I shouldn't respond, you know, this way, and you respond in a better way? Yeah? I'm glad I'm not the only one. Or he shows us the right thing to do. But if we don't have an active prayer life or a daily walk with the Holy Spirit, that voice becomes dim. It's important to keep a continuous prayer life and keep that conversation, keep that relationship open between you and the Holy Spirit, whether he's right next to you, whether you feel he's in your heart. Everybody senses that consciousness differently. Some people feel it in our mind. Some people feel it in our heart, or feel like there's something next to us. I mean, I don't want to creep you out, but that's just how people are. Everybody receives things differently and has a different understanding about Jesus, Father, the Holy Spirit. Everybody does. So however you are receiving this, let's see. How can we use the Holy Spirit? I came up with three things. There are way more things that we could use, but I just came up with general three things. As a spiritual weapon, as direction, and words of knowledge. Now in Luke 12:12, if you guys want to make note of that scripture, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what needs to be said. Words of knowledge. So I have a story about this, because some of you may not understand. It's when an unction from the Lord, meaning the Holy Spirit inside you, is telling you something and you just can't get rid of this. You know that you're supposed to tell this person something. Of course, maybe something good or a warning. Have any of you ever had that experience? All right, a few of you. When I was in Monterrey, Mexico, I did a missions trip. Gosh, it was October of 2008, way back when. And we were just, it was a group of us, and we were doing different, like, rallies, you know, and then we were doing praying things, worship, all kinds of stuff. We were just trying to bring Jesus to everybody. And one time, I felt the Lord wanting me to kind of step up a little bit. I was still a little shy. I didn't really have confidence in my, I guess, leadership in, like, praying for other people. And I felt the Lord wanting me to pray for this one young lady. She was about my age at the time, maybe a little older. And as soon as and she spoke all Spanish. And I didn't really speak Spanish. I speak every, you know, little broken, but I couldn't even pray in Spanish. I think she hardly understood what I said when we just talked. So I didn't know what she said when we were praying, right? So I just said, okay, I'm going to pray for you. Let's close our eyes. And I held her hands. And I was praying for her in English. And so she started crying, but she didn't really understand what I was saying. So first, that's the Holy Spirit working, right? So then I get these like splashes of visions, you know, while I'm praying for her. And I was like, okay, I saw this. And I wasn't going to tell her. And I was like, okay, I don't know if you understand me, but I see a bunch of colors and I see children and I see a man. I don't know. I was just telling her stuff. And something about like she was needing forgiveness or something. And so I started saying this, and I think we ended up having a translator. Well, then she started telling me that she was struggling whether or not she should be a part of her father's ministry. She walked away from the children's ministry. It was a bunch of stuff that just like lined up, and it kind of confirmed what she would do with some decisions in her life, whatever I saw. I didn't know the girl. I didn't even know her name. We didn't even speak the same language. That's the Holy Spirit. Words of knowledge. So that's one experience that I've had in the past. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And I challenge you to ask the Lord to speak to you, to speak to people who you may feel that need a word of knowledge. Now, not forced, but you know when it's right and you know when it's wrong. You know when he's really trying to tell you something and it just keeps kind of nagging at you, that's when you know it's the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, but when the Father sends the advocate to my representative, this is what I first started off with, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. Then there's direction. Now, how many of us have ever... we believe in signs. How many of you guys believe in signs and wonders? And maybe the Lord can show you things through maybe a magazine article. A friend says a word or two that, and you're like, I had that in my dream. Or maybe you have dreams where you feel like you have, that's a sign. That happens to me as well. Now, the first university that I had decided to go to was Sal Ross State University in West Texas. And I remember I was going to Palo Alto. It was my very first. I was just 17. I was in college. And I was going to Palo Alto. It was the only semester I went. 2001. It was the year 9/11. And I was so bored. I was like, ugh. This is not for me. I need a challenge. I need to go like to university. And I just did not know what to do. I was the first one to ever go to college in my whole family. I didn't know what to do at all. And I remember I went into some store and I saw this brochure. And it said Sal Ross State University. And I was like, oh, yeah. I saw many other universities too. And then I was walking. And then I think I had seen a commercial. I was like, Sal Ross State? Okay. Went somewhere else, and then I had seen something on the floor. Sal Ross. I just kept seeing sign after sign. It could have been any other university that I saw on the floor. Sign after sign. I even think I saw a commercial after that. Just so many things. And I had started doing research, knowing me, research. And I started talking to my parents about it, and they were like all for it. They thought it was great. And it was like, there was mountains, kind of in a desert. It was really pretty. It was small, just for me, nothing too huge. It was exactly what I needed. So that's what I'm talking about, signs. A lot of us experience that. You may be experiencing it now. And maybe me talking to you is like, ding, yep, the Lord's trying to tell me something. Listen to that voice. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Then there's spiritual weapons and warfare. Now, we can use the Holy Spirit for protection. A lot of times we pray, just like this morning we prayed for a brother. The Lord protect him, keep him, heal him, help him, right? Praying for your parents, your kids. Protect them, heal them. Well, let me remind you of this scripture. We have to remember when we think on the Holy Spirit, we have and pray, we have to refer to Scripture. What does Scripture say? Scripture helps us to have something to hold on to. It helps us to have something to pray on. So let's go to Ephesians 6. I would like for you to turn to this if you can. Ephesians 6, 10 and 18. Now it's kind of long, but I'm going to read it all because I feel like it's very important for this morning. Now the Holy Spirit gives us protection. This is talking about the putting on the full armor of God. Now every morning you wake up, you get your coffee, you put your clothes on, you eat your breakfast, you're out the door and you're on your way to work. Do you think at all about your protection? Do you think at all about the spiritual warfare that's going on? Because it is going on. There's spears being thrown at you, but you have there's angels guarding you, guiding you. There's stuff going on. Do you ever think about putting that full armor of God? Because every day when we get stressed, that's a spear. When we get worried, that's a spear, a dart. When something bad happens that day and it brings down our day, that's a spear, that's a dart. Do we think about putting that full armor of God? That Holy Spirit will help us. So, verse 10. And a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen worlds, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil powers in the heavenly places. Verse 13. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Evil can just be worry, guys. Evil can be you twisting your ankle. Okay? Could be stuff like that. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. 15. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Very important to have the Word in our spirit, guys. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Very, very good scripture. I want to encourage you to keep that with you this week and every week. So whenever you feel an unction to pray for someone, any of you guys ever have that experience? I know sometimes I have, the Lord drops people that I probably hardly talk to in my mind and I can't let go of it. And I know the Lord's trying to tell me to pray for them. And I have no idea why, probably never will. But that happens to me very often. Does that happen to you? Do people just come to mind? That means the Lord's pushing you to pray for them. Or maybe to help them. That's the Holy Spirit. Spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is real. Just like it says in Ephesians. There's things going on in this unseen world. Crazy things. And we have to be able to have that boldness to fight it off. You know, that boldness to put our heels in the ground and stand firm. We need that boldness. And that boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. We can't just gather it up by ourselves. It's important for us to rely on the Holy Spirit. Finding boldness in the Holy Spirit is to take over a situation that looks bad, but he can turn things around. If you choose to have boldness, he can turn things around. I have a video to elaborate a little bit on boldness. It's from a guy, one of my favorite preachers, super hilarious man. He's from Louisiana, I believe. His name is Jesse Duplantis, and I just found this small snippet on boldness, and I just really wanted to encourage you on it. And I think we have it ready.
This boldness produced the tongue-talking church of the Bible. I don't mind speaking in tongues in public. I cussed in public. Why can't I speak in tongues in public? I danced in public. Why can't I dance for the Lord in public? I don't care where I'm at, brother. You can't embarrass me because I'm a dead man. And if I'm a dead man, dead people don't get embarrassed. They don't care what they look like. Bless God, they're dead. It's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I tell you what, sometimes I get up in the morning, look at myself in the mirror and go, hoo-hoo, Jesse, you got it, boy. You got it. And I'm not talking about me, but I'm talking about the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ that's ruling and reigning inside of me. Boldness produced the tongue-talking church of the Bible. I enjoy attacking the devil. He's been attacking us long enough. I get up in the morning, I say, okay, God, let's go. And that devil says, oh, no, he's up again. You never know what he's going to do. Right, I don't know what I'm going to do. Isn't it wonderful? Because if you made a mistake, you wouldn't know you made a mistake because you don't know what you're doing. You are walking by faith in Jesus' word. So boldness produces the tongue-talking church of the Bible. What does that simply mean? That simply means this. After you fill with the Spirit, after you've come to a believer's convention, brother, this convention is not here to tickle your ears. It's for you to grow in the Word of God, that when you go back home, you've got the full armor of God on. And when you get there, that devil will look at you and say, I thought he was small, but no, you heard the word of faith. You're coming back, brother, with a bigger helmet, with a bigger breastplate, with a bigger sword. You're going to cut his gun. That's out because of the power of Jesus in your life. Boldness produced the tongue-talking church of the Bible. I don't know how anybody can get depressed when they got Jesus Christ in them. I really have a hard time getting depressed. I got to make myself. I'm serious. I got to get in the flesh to do it. But it's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I enjoy ministering the word of God. I was on a plane one time sitting next to a doctor. I never forget it. And I just looked at her. She was a lady doctor. And I said, do you know Jesus? She said, who? I said, do you know Jesus? She said, well, I go to church. I said, well, hardy, har, har. That don't mean nothing. Do you know Jesus? She said, well, I'm Lutheran. I said, good. Do you know Jesus? I'm not interested what affiliation you're in. I just want to know if you know Jesus. She said, well, it looks like you do. I said, yes, I do. Yes, I do. She said, man, there's something about you. She said, I like to know what God looks like. And I unbuckled my seatbelt and said, look, he looks like me. I made it his image. I made it his likeness. I am what he said I am.
Amen. It's important to have boldness. Boldness for the Lord. So, speaking on a spiritual weapon, years ago, my brother, Leo, I'm sure he won't mind me telling this story. It was a Sunday afternoon. I was napping at my grandmother's, and it was just one of those lazy afternoons, right? And apparently my brother was driving a gray Suburban, my parents' gray Suburban at the time, and they were going from my parents' house, and then there's a dirt road to get to another location on our family ranch. And my other brother, Eric, was driving a four-wheeler. So they were going to do something, probably feed the cows. So apparently a deer or something, it was daylight, probably about 4 in the afternoon, a deer came out in the middle of the road, and my brother swerved, Leo swerved. And he swerved so hard that he flipped the Suburban over multiple times onto the next property, broke the fence, everything. And I get a call, and Eric says, Vanessa, you need to get over to the county road on her way to Dad's right now. And I was like, okay, waking up from my nap. And I drive over there, and all I remember seeing is the vehicle smashed, I mean smashed, and I see, like, my mom on the floor, my dad, and my uncle's, like, scratching his head, like, trying to compute what happened. I just see, like, I just see craziness. And I see the cars parked on the side, and I get out of the car. Eric comes to me, and he's, like, you know, freaking out, the moment of stress, you know. And I just lost it. I hardly remember running over there, and I'm already crying. I didn't even know what happened. And I see my brother on the floor, and all I can think of was, oh, my gosh, he's dead. You know, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I need to call the other siblings. We need to pray. And I remember calling my brother Michael and just, I don't know. And so we were all basically in a moment of stress, distress, craziness. thinking something could happen to my brother for the rest of our lives. And he wasn't moving. And at the time, my aunt and uncle had their old pastor there visiting for the afternoon. And they were already praying. And all I could do was just go up and pray. And that's pretty much what we did. We didn't know if he was alive or anything. And we just prayed. And we were crying. And just, I don't really remember too much. But I remember we prayed. That's what I remember. I remember praying. And like, I think tongues, all kinds of stuff. I remember really pleading to the Lord, please don't take my brother. Please. And then just saying in tongues, like, heal him, heal him, heal him. And ambulance came. They took him away. He walked out the next day, barely one scratch. He somehow flew out of the car. Like, it was just, it's a miracle he did not die. It's an absolute miracle. But I believe that because we prayed at that moment, that the Lord was changing things. There was that whole unseen world thing that I told you about. Stuff was happening. Stuff was happening. That's spiritual warfare. That is what the Holy Spirit gives us strength and boldness to do. Very important to not forget about that. So my last question to you today is, do you know Jesus and the Holy Spirit? Just like he asked, do you know Jesus? But also, do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you recognize that in your life, in you, on you, around you? Do you trust him to take control of your life? Can you surrender to that Holy Spirit? Just something for you to chew on for the rest of the week. Can you surrender your thoughts, your fears, your passions, your desires, your situations, your husband, your wife, your children? Can you surrender your whole family, your job, all of that? Chew on that this week. I have a video. It's very compelling. It might be a little tough to see, but this is what happens when we allow God to take control, because it happens. We need to make sure to have the heart of a child, because when we do, that's when we're careless. We're free. I mean, in the most responsible sense, we need to be careless with the Holy Spirit in the way of letting him just kind of take care of us. I mean that in the most respect, because yes, not be careless with our lives, but allowing the Holy Spirit to help take control. Now, the video that I'm about to show you, it's children, and nobody told them to do anything. Nobody told them to act or anything. This is a video of a coworker of mine. Her and I share the same faith, and we talk about it all the time. This is her nephew. And the mother of the nephew, which is her sister, is actually a prostitute, and her kids were given to the state. So this shows that the Holy Spirit is always working and protecting us. Let's go ahead and watch this video. Kids are naturally crying on their own around him. just wanted to show you that that's the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit can bring us to that. If he can do that for children, he can do that for us. You know, children have the least amount of knowledge of him, you know, just yet. We have so much more knowledge of the Holy Spirit and what he's capable of doing. But I want to challenge you to allow yourself to get to that point, whether it's in your closet, whether it's in your car. Surrender yourself to that Holy Spirit. It's important that we remember to surrender to that. Surrender our thoughts, our emotions. The Holy Spirit was sent to us who believe, for those who believe in Jesus. Understand that we cannot operate by ourselves. Now I want to have a closing prayer. We can all stand. Father God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy this morning. Thank you for your wisdom, for allowing me to share your word, Lord. I pray that these words penetrate deeply, Lord, this week and the year on, Lord. And I just pray that you remind us through your Holy Spirit of how to be as a human being, Lord, how to speak as a human being, how to treat other people as a human being, how to allow you to take control. Father, I thank you that you give us that gift, that Holy Spirit as a gift, Lord. Thank you. And teach us more about it, Lord. Teach us more and speak to us more and help us to help other people with the Holy Spirit and not just focus on ourselves, Lord. We surrender it to you, Lord. I thank you for your grace, your love, and your Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. Amen.